All right, I'm going to keep this short because it does get a little bit theological, and so I'm just trying to hopefully over just a couple weeks here clarify some terminology and what we mean. By regeneration, we are talking about a change in the soul brought about by the act and grace of God alone. Without men acting at all, but men being acted upon. It's called in Scripture a new birth, resurrection, a new life, a new creation, a new creature, regeneration. It may be called by some other things, but I'm not certain. Because what happens, one of the difficulties is here, when does it blend into sanctification? And that's one of the discussions. And I'm tempted to think, for example, in Titus, where he says, washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, that is talking about the same act of God. That's why but it could be regeneration and then a continual renewing. So, but not having studied, I don't want to make that assumption. But regeneration is an inner recreating of God. When you think of regeneration, think of regenesis, a new genesis. An inner recreating of fallen human nature by the gracious and completely sovereign action of the Holy Spirit of God. This is a radical new creation that is begun in the soul of fallen man, a regeneration or new birth, emphasizes the decisive change. It emphasizes a couple things. It emphasizes a decisive change from the old life to the new, but brought about by God. Decisive change from the old life to the new. Man regenerated is a new creature in Christ, right? Romans 3, 1 through 11. And it emphasizes that God alone, without man's cooperation, help, or in any way, God alone has done it. So it emphasizes this decisive change. It emphasizes that God alone has done it. It's been called monergistic in that way. God alone acts to regenerate. Man is passive. If God doesn't act, there is no new birth, no life, no creation. It is life out of nothing. It is life from the dead. It is spiritual life from spiritual deadness. Spurgeon said this wonderfully. Those who are saved by God, the Holy Spirit, are created anew according to the Scripture. But who ever dreamed of creation creating itself? God spake the world out of nothing, but nothing did not aid in the creation of the universe. Divine energy can do everything, but what can nothing do? He goes on, now if we have a new creation, there must have been a creator. And it is clear that being then spiritually created, we could not have assisted in our own new creation, unless indeed death can assist life. And non-existence aid in creation. Isn't that great? Unless death can assist life and non-existence aid in creation, we could not have assisted this new creation. We could have not assisted regeneration. And so that's theologically regeneration. And that's where it has been settled now in theology. That when we speak of regeneration, we're speaking entirely of the act of God apart from man. Okay. And this is the problem. But this is the problem. It at least needs to be understood properly because Arminians have used this. Well, I skipped something here. Let me say. Historically, regeneration has also been called conversion. And that's where it has become a problem. We don't use it that way. I'll talk about that in a little bit. So, but that has brought confusion. And even when you read some of the old confessions, they mix regeneration with conversion. Even Calvin does this. It's not wrong how they're doing it. But what it is, it opened up the Arminian to shove in his error. And that's why later Reformed churches really singled out regeneration as the monergistic act of God, and not including any sanctification, not including our act of faith, not including the acts of regeneration or repentance. Excuse me. So it has also theologically been called conversion. Regeneration has been called conversion, and when it's been used that way, you need to understand it properly. Because Arminians have used this to view salvation synergistically. That is, monergistically is God alone. Synergistically is God and man. God doing his part, man doing his part. And in doing that, they have robbed God of his sovereignty and glory. So, regeneration, conversion, sometimes these were and sometimes they still are used interchangeably. Sometimes they're used for, so sometimes regeneration will be used for the whole process of spiritual restoration. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes regeneration will be used for the whole process of spiritual regeneration into the image of God. And that enters into sanctification, which we partake of, which we cooperate. In regeneration, we did not cooperate. You see the difference? Sometimes they're used interchangeably. Sometimes they're used for the whole process of spiritual restoration. Sometimes it refers only to part of the process or a particular part. So we should be aware that even the theologians of Dort used them as synonyms. And I don't have any examples of that right now because probably some of our translations have observed that and maybe corrected that. I'll try to show you that. But Calvin did this. John Owen did this. And they use them as synonyms. They use regeneration and conversion as synonyms. Of course, for the whole process. But these men were by no means Arminians. Of course not. They were, in fact, the great champions of God's sovereign grace in salvation and his glory, that he receives all the glory. But because it led to confusion, and because there was in Scripture an act entirely of God where man is passive, and there is an act of man also in Scripture responsively because of this new life, this new regeneration creates a new life that responds. And because man is called to then actively believe and repent, those sometimes have been meshed together. And even when I was reading this, I was like, I'm reading some, I'm reading Bavinck, I'm reading Burkhoff, and some others that are slipping my mind, a Hodge. So, and then they point out even that sometimes we have to be careful when we talk about the call, where we're placing the call. And so this is something that I do want to clarify with us and even clarify in my own terminology as I'm speaking, not just to you, but just plain speaking about these things. So, um, And I would say this also. This is how some good confessional documents come about. Some of our good confessions come about because what we're doing is we're really trying to clarify the language so that like the Arminians can't like hide and slip around in language, you know, so they were trying to clear up some of that language. Hodge said it this way. I'll quote this. Maybe you won't get this. It's kind of a, but he said the questions. So, you know, even if you're looking at Calvin, you need to understand how he's using it. He's certainly not using it as an Arminian, but an Arminian, when he uses it, obviously will twist it around. So Hodge says this, the questions whether man is active or passive in regeneration or whether regeneration is affected by the mediate or immediate influence of the Spirit must be answered in one way if regeneration includes conversion or in another if it be taken in its restricted sense. So we are taking it today in its restricted sense. And so when I speak of regeneration, I am speaking of the complete, independent act of God making a man alive. I'm not including our response. Now, to add to the historical confusion, Lutherans in their apology for the Augsburg Confession, regeneration included justification. Regeneration included justification. In later Lutheran, in their form of Concord, trying to avoid this confusion, they made a sharp distinction between justification and anything signifying a subjective change in the sinner. So you had all that confusion whirling around the word regeneration. Regeneration, synonym with confusion, with a conversion, rather. Well, you see, I'm getting confused even as I speak of it. I'm not trying to confuse you, believe me. So regeneration and conversion, there was a growing need for clarity. Regeneration was sometimes used then even to include justification. Regeneration was sometimes used to include sanctification. And then another part of the confusion came from repeating historical usage where regeneration or born again was used very broadly of an overall change and transition from one way to another. So the Jews took their proselytes when they and the proselytes were now joining a new religion, right? They were joining the Jews. And this change of status from without the theocracy into the theocracy was regeneration. They called it regeneration. And the early church did something similar. They started using that kind of language, describing broadly the outward external change. And I think it probably came from this Jewish language, or they probably came from it, or they imitated it. It was kind of a natural thing. You're a new person. You're a new creature. You know, you've left the old world and you've come into the new world, and see how it's much more broader than that restrictive sense of God's monergistic act, okay, on man, without man. So in the early church, and then it would sort of repeat itself at times. In the early church, someone would come to the faith, they'd be a believer, they would be baptized, and they would say, you're born again. And the baptism was the initiation rite, and they began to call that regeneration. See, that was regeneration. What do you think would be one of the problems that would come from that? Baptismal regeneration. Started to think that the regeneration was in the baptismal water. And even today, Roman Catholicism does that. The Church of Christ does that. They teach baptismal regeneration. So there was a great need for clarity and specificity with this word. Regeneration then has been narrowed and restricted. And let me just quote Hodge again. So this isn't just your pastor saying this. It's a very well-respected, great reformer. He says, quote, by consent, almost universal, the word regeneration is now used to designate not the whole work of sanctification, nor the first stages of that work comprehended in conversion, much less justification or any mere external change of state, but the instantaneous change from spiritual death to spiritual life. So that we have all agreement. We're saying that regeneration is this act of God. And then we may also mean the change in man's soul because of the act of God. Now that those are both true, and those are both the restrictive sense. So the act of God and the change in our soul because of the act of God, a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual resurrection, it is the beginning of new life done completely by God. Man is passive in that. We do not include conversion here. We do not include the initial works of sanctification. Regeneration is restricted to the beginning of the spiritual life. And you'll even see in some of the quotes here where the Dort, as I read, makes it a little more broad than that. So, but with regard to man, regeneration, a man is passive. Okay, it's not a voluntary act of man. The remonstrance, that is the Arminian, the followers of Arminius, made regeneration to consist in the sinner's own act. Yeah, he made it to consist in the sinner's own act. Regeneration to the Arminian was man turning to God. And whenever it was conversion. And whatever may be said of the reformers or the confusion of the words, they made it clear. It was so clear when we read it, wasn't it? That God, by His grace, changes man without man. Even faith and repentance is a gift. Even faith and repentance. So Article 12 says, this is that regeneration so highly extolled in Scripture, that renewal, new creation, resurrection from the dead, making alive, which God works in us without our aid. That sounds very much like the restrictive view. Article 13, believers in this life cannot fully comprehend the manner of this operation. Nevertheless, they are satisfied to know and experience that by this grace of God, they are enabled to believe with the heart and to love their Savior. So that's where they start to include the beginnings of conversion. See? But even then, they make it clear, Article 14, faith is therefore to be considered a gift of God. Once again, I'm almost wrapped up. I know this is kind of technical, but I want to say this, and I'll say it a few other times, and maybe we'll get some of it. We'll be able to even examine some reading, our own reading, and then we'll look at some scripture. Regeneration is an act of God. That's the restricted sin. It's an act of God, not such an act by which He influences us to respond. Not what we're talking about. Not an act of argument. Not an act of persuasion or then us to perform. That's not it. God regenerates. He is the author and agent of regeneration. God regenerates and the soul is regenerated, changed, new life. I am almost certain in this study, and I don't think I wrote it down, but in John 3, when he says, I think it's 3:8, you must be born again. That is that you'll see it in the aorist and you'll see it in the perfect tense. It is an act of God. It's an act of God in the past. Now, with the perfect, it just means it's an act of God in the past which has abiding results. But it's an act, it is an act of God. And it's not an act of man. God regenerates and the soul is regenerated. Changed. New life. Soul is passive in regeneration. It is a change brought about in us by God's Spirit. But it's not an act performed by us. I know a lot of this, if this goes over your head, let it go. Okay? Because actually, it won't go. Some of this will settle in and it'll come back up from time to time. And when Jesus says you must be born again, he's not telling Nicodemus to do something. Did you know that? He's not telling Nicodemus to do something. He is teaching that the Spirit must regenerate. He is teaching a teacher what he should already know. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How can you be born again? You can't. If anything, that's what Jesus is telling you, isn't it? You can't. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, you don't know where it comes from, where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Faith will be a response of this birth brought about by this act of God. Faith is the product, we say. Faith is the fruit. Now the effect, now I know we're splitting hairs. The effects will be immediate with regeneration. The effects will be immediate. But the effects are the product of this act of God, the product of regeneration. So keep in mind, when we are speaking of regeneration in its restricted sense, we are speaking entirely of the act of God. Okay? Remember that. Speaking entirely of the act of God. That's all I really want to say. My professor would say, you didn't land the plane. But know that we are speaking about, when we're speaking about regeneration, we're speaking entirely of the act of God. Faith and repentance enters into the first acts of conversion and what we call sanctification. We are expressing faith. We are expressing repentance. So let's pray. Father, I do hope that some of this will become clear and maybe help as some of the men who definitely are very sharp and studying these things. They're looking at Calvin, they're looking at Luther, they're looking at the old confessions, and then they're looking at some of the new, or they're looking at not even the new theologians, Bob Inc., and they're looking at Hodge, and there's some confusion over regeneration and conversion. I hope this will clarify it a little bit. Either way, all of the great reformers were giving you glory, even when they took regeneration and conversion as a more holistically. They were all giving you glory, but this will help us think through these matters and think about what the Arminians, but really Satan's little dainty morsels were being whispered into theological students' ears to be expressed and to challenge these things. So we want to give you all the glory, and we recognize that the new birth, regeneration was entirely your work. And we even thank you for the gift of faith that we must express, and we don't want to downplay faith. We have to all have faith, and we have to, it is our faith, and we have to repent. And that too is your gift. And you work in us, and you continue that work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.